It's time now for America in the Balance. Brought to you by Oklahomans for Sovereignty and Free Enterprise. And now your co-hosts, Amanda Teagarden and Don Wyatt.
And welcome, freedom-loving Oklahomans, to another hour of America in the Balance on Truth in Focus Internet Radio. This is your host, Amanda Teagarden, in studio with my co-host, Don Wyatt.
Delighted to be here. Delighted to be anywhere, as my dad used to say, but especially sure. Here.
It beats the alternative, doesn't it?
Exactly.
That's what my dad said. It there always beats the alternative.
I like that. We got some nice break in the weather. A little cool, kind of like a late winter-spring transition going on again.
What he's saying is we're now in tornado season.
Exactly.
We are facing tornadoes, possibly storms, which is a typical Tulsa spring. And we are broadcasting from the city of Tulsa in the state of Oklahoma. The organization this show is for, America in the Balance, is OK Safe. That's OK-Safe.com. And we have another website, which is brand new, dedicated to a single subject, which is exposing healthcare reform. And coincidentally, the website address is exposinghealthcarereform.com.
Right.
Lots of good information there. And even though it is addressed at the legislation passed in the state of Oklahoma, we are confident that that type of legislation is being passed in your state as well, implementing healthcare reform, which really started before Obama was ever elected president.
Sure did. It's scary how far back this goes.
It is, and regardless of which administration was in charge.
That's exactly right, or who your local chieftains are as well.
That is correct. Now, Don, you have a boondoggle blog. Tell our listeners about that.
Yeah, we have an organization called the Tulsa Taxes Task Force, which is busy learning about and exposing let's call it impolite behavior towards taxpayers. Boondoggle defined as useless work paid for with public money. And so we expose the things that we find on boondoggleblog.com. And so boondoggleblog.com is our information or information dispersal tool for the things that we're doing locally.
Speaking of Tulsa, OK Safe normally addresses issues at the state level, and on occasion, an issue comes up that is of particular interest to our listeners. So this will be a local issue, but I can pretty much guess that your city, your municipality, has been dealing with this issue of conversion from a Liberty type of trash delivery pickup system,
right,
the one where you get to pick your own trash can, and it gets hauled away, and the city has a dump, and you're charged a monthly fee, and the end of story, to one that is going to what I call a communist trash
can. That's right. Control everywhere you look.
Central planning. It is, for our listeners who have been longtime listeners, it is part of this move towards sustainable development.
Right. And it's actually part of the surveillance move, too, isn't it?
I'm hearing music, and we shouldn't be. I'm not sure. All right. Well, we have very special guests in studio today, because we are going to be talking about trash. And we have two guests in studio. The first one is Dr. Judith Adams. Hello, Judith.
Good morning. It's good to be with you.
And she's formed an organization along with some other Tulsans called TUF, which is Tulsans United for Fairness. And also in studio is another TUF member and candidate for House District 70 in the city of Tulsa. This is not an endorsement. This is just factual
introduction
here. But it is Ken Walker, who is a Republican candidate for House District 70. And he is also the president of Shepherd's Guide. Welcome, Ken.
Good morning, Amanda.
And Ken's been hearing a lot on the campaign trail about this particular issue, probably more than any other issue he's found as he's knocking door to door. And on the phone, we have Tulsa attorney George Gibbs, who is going to be talking about the lawsuit that this organization has filed against the Tier Board or the city of Tulsa. George, are you there?
Good morning. Yes, I am.
Good to have you here. So we actually have three guests. We have two in studio and one on the phone. And real quick, we're going to what we're talking about today is what I've called Tulsa's communist can. And here's the subject. The city of Tulsa has successfully handled trash for service for decades. I think, Don, you would agree. The trash has been picked up and taken care of.
It used to be easy.
It used to be simple. Okay. People put the trash out. The city picked it up. It was pretty simple. But not good enough for the terror board. And I bet you your city, if you're listening from another city, has this kind of an authority. It's the Tulsa Authority for the Recovery of Energy. This is an unelected special interest group that has decided to radically change how trash is collected in the city of Tulsa. So what happened was, as is should happen everywhere, a group called TUF, which is Tulsans United for Fairness Incorporated, has filed a lawsuit to challenge this decision. Join us as we talk trash with TUF representatives Dr. Judith Adams in studio and attorney George Gibbs and Ken Walker. So Judith, we're going to start with you. Please tell us about TUF, who formed this group, and a little bit about how people can reach you, and then we're going to talk about how the lawsuit your organization has filed against this trash change.
Okay, well, our organization, we are a relatively small organization, but we think we can be effective in this. We think we can be successful. I think the basic formulation of the group came from some realization nothing was happening. People, the voice of the people was not being heard. In fact, the voice of the people was being suppressed by the people on the TARE board. Now, the TARE board is the Tulsa Authority for the Recovery of Energy. They are unelected people. They are appointed people, and they are within the mayor's office. Now, that is part of the problem. There are seven people on this board appointed, and we can get more into their terms and so on and so forth as we go along here. But they have been making decisions regarding issuing a contract, a new contract. The previous contract for trash removal is expiring this summer, and so there was a need to begin the process of issuing a new contract. This TARE board falls under one of the authorities, boards, and commissions that is allowed by state law under Title 60. So they have been given authority, but in some ways, we'd like to say they are abusing that authority. Now, that's an issue to be debated, and that's the reason we're leading to a lawsuit, so that legally this can be challenged.
All right. Judith, I've neglected to mention that you, too, were a candidate for city council in the city of Tulsa recently, and you've had an opportunity to walk a lot of neighborhoods and get to know a lot of people, and you get to see a little bit of the process, the political process that exists in the city of Tulsa. So when you were engaged in that process, and I think it was last session, wasn't it? Last fall.
Last summer.
Were you beginning to hear about this issue of the trash?
Amanda, I'm sort of embarrassed to say I did run for city council. I was one of four Republican candidates that ran. And early in my campaign, I made a few jokes about the trash, but I was not really fully aware of how controversial this issue is.
I think that was pretty typical of most people, wouldn't you say?
It shouldn't have been a huge controversy if they hadn't done what they've done.
Right. And this, as I have learned, I've been educated somewhat, still learning about this process and what's been happening. The city council had been in opposition, basically, to the actions of the TARE board. They had been doing everything possible to stop the TARE board from going forward unsuccessfully.
Until the election of chamber-selected city councilors.
You could say that, yes. That might be one conclusion.
I
just did. Okay. So we had, this goes back to, this was a very important election, and this Tulsa City, the Chamber of Commerce, Metropolitan Tulsa area, the Chamber of Commerce here hand-selected some candidates ahead of time and was quite vocal in who they were supporting, and coincidentally, all of those people won. And it was a complete change of the makeup of the city council, and then one of the biggest votes that they had to cast was whether to move forward with this trash plan. And it turns out that some of those city councilors were actually part of the task force to discuss, to examine the issue of trash before they were elected.
That's right.
Yes, and there have been times when recently that the city councilors were told they did not have a choice about how to vote. They were, in essence, told or ordered to vote affirmatively for the funding of this program. So, as someone said, if you have no option to vote no, then it's not really an open vote. And another point that's been brought up is city council has become the council for the Tear Board against the city council.
Real quick, we probably should mention who the Tear Board members are. It's Mayor Bartlett or designee Jim Twombly, which I believe is the city manager, William Bowles, David Patrick, who happens to be a city councilor, and there's a little article that I pulled that says that he had to recuse himself, or a lawyer advised him to recuse himself, and Randall Sullivan, and those who have been involved in Tulsa politics for a long time will recognize his name as being a former city councilor, and then Cheryl Kohenor, who is the chair, and Michael Pierce, and then Steve Berlin. And so let's get to George on the phone and talk about this lawsuit. George, tell us about the lawsuit, a little bit about who you are and why you got involved.
Well, I have lived in Tulsa for about 23 years, and Dr. Adams approached me and several months ago and said, George, is there anything we can do about this irresponsible, unrepresentative actions by the Tear Board? And I thought that we could do something about it because I've been hearing for many months almost universal disdain for the Tear Board decisions from the citizens of South Tulsa. And I have, when I was running for city council last year, knocked on over 5,000 doors and talked to that number of people, estimated give or take a few hundred on either side, but universally. And the vast, vast majority, I think only met three people that were in favor of changing the trash system. 99% of South Tulsans didn't want to change their trash system. It looked like to us, based upon what witnesses have told us, that the Tear Board, and this is from what witnesses have told me, that the Tear Board really did not want input from the citizens. Matter of fact, when people would try to ask questions, Tear Board members would roll their eyes and say, you know, this is really not the agenda. You don't get to come here and ask questions. You just get to hear what we're deciding. And it appears that the Tear Board really did not want public input, didn't care for the citizens' input. Meetings were conducted with using one microphone, and they would use one microphone for a little while, and then they would quit using a microphone. So, and whether it was purposeful or deliberate or unintentional, but most of the citizens that attended the meetings could not hear what the Tear Board was saying. At one point, the Tear Board was holding meetings to where the citizens were required to get somebody to escort them or to get into the building. They had to be escorted to the 10th floor where the Tear Board was conducting meetings. When they got up there, they couldn't hear what the Tear Board was saying. Everybody had to be on the front row if they wanted to hear anything about what was being said. So that raises the question to where... and may have to be resolved by a judge. Were these meetings open to the public? Certainly,
George, let me ask you a question.
What they were doing.
Yeah, because they are a public beneficiary trust, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And under Oklahoma law, their meetings are to be conducted in the open. And matter of fact, it's called the Open Meeting Act. And that's a legal and virtually constitutional requirement.
Were these meetings recorded then? And if so, or if not, let us know that. And also, were meeting minutes taken, and are those posted anywhere?
Yes, the minutes are taken, and they are posted. I think there was one spot in the building that they were posted, and they're posted on the Internet. There is an agenda, and it appears that they at least there was some attempt to comply with, to follow the agenda, but it doesn't appear that they followed it religiously. But there are meetings where the minutes were taken, and it appears that they largely tried to follow the agenda. The problem is it looks like a lot of the meetings were conducted in such a fashion that people could not hear what was going on. And for the paper, the Tulsa World, to say that the citizens had input is largely either a fabrication by the Tulsa World as they endorse what the chair board has done, or they're very naive, and I question that they actually attended the meetings based on what witnesses have told me.
Quick comment, George, that I might, if I might interject here, our Boondoggle blog actually has a posting about this trash situation in Tulsa. It's the list of things you might not have known or learned or heard about regarding your new probable trash system. And the reason that posting is out there is some of our task force members were trying to attend those meetings, and the supposition or conjecture you just offered about the way they were conducted and the spirit in which they were conducted was absolutely true. And we've got eyewitnesses from our task force that were there during some of this, and it was really pretty heavy-handed, and it was kind of an elitist, we know what's best for you, we don't really care what you think kind of attitude that our people heard there.
Well, that is consistent with what about 11 different witnesses have told me, and I still got a few more people to contact. I would sure like to have the names of some of those task force members.
We'll help.
And I think a court would be very interested in knowing how these meetings were conducted.
Yeah, we'll help you with that after the show today. Let me, before we get into more detail on the lawsuit, any of our guests, can you give us some more background on the Tulsa's trash service, how it used to be done, why they're changing it, what the motivation for the change was, and what this focus or presumption of recycling really means in the spirit of all of this?
I'll give you a little bit of history. I'm definitely not an authority on this, but up as we currently stand, a major portion of Tulsa's trash is collected by a private contractor called TRI, which is Trash Recovery Incorporated, I believe, and there is a portion of the city that is has trash collection through a direct contract with the city. TRI has provided basically twice a week pickup, either curbside or alley, at a reasonable price. And the problem that we have run into, I think I mentioned before, is this contract with TRI was running out. Part of how the tear board comes into play here, they were put in place in order to allow the city to have contracts extending more than 1 year. As this contract with TRI was expiring, they began to look at what alternatives there might be. However, there is some question that maybe the thinking behind the lines here would go back maybe 5 or 6, 7 years, right, to Mayor Kathy Taylor and some of the other agendas that are being pursued. And this trash issue, I think it's kind of a blemish on the face of a large person. You know, maybe this is just a part of a much, much larger problem.
Agreed.
And we're just discovering, you know, this particular issue of picking up the trash now. And we could go into what the proposals are and so on and so forth. But that's kind of the background.
Is it true that the new trash cans are going to have RFID chips in them?
The way that it has been written, and there are planning to put the RFIDs, which are identification chips, in the trash cans. And as George has commented before, you know, the story keeps changing. First they said they weren't going to put those in, then they said they were. They said they weren't going to track the whereabouts of the carts. Now they say they do. They said there wouldn't be any possibility of penalty or fining for people in the use use of the cart. Now they say they will. Now they're saying they're going to deputize the trash collectors so that they can write tickets.
I'm sorry, I have to laugh.
Hey, that's economic development. I mean, we're getting people jobs here, the trash inspectors. And aren't there little stickers for your trash bag if you go over?
In the past, we were allowed to have a bulky waste pickup and green waste pickup at no extra cost. Now there's going to be extra cost for bags for green waste pickup.
Wait, let's back up. You can't use your own bags?
No. You have to purchase bags, and I think they're to
What is Walmart going to do when the sale of trash bags goes down? It plummets because they can't sell trash bags anymore.
You know, that's another...
This is going to have an economic development impact that's just unending.
Well, you would have to buy the trash bags.
Twist ties come with these things? Oh, no.
No, stickers. But you do have to have a sticker, and the stickers are 50 cents a piece. So, and the regulations that are developing around this are becoming horrendous and oppressive, because you have to rinse your trash barrel or trash receptacle. You have to, you know, you could be fined if you don't rinse it out. You have to sort your trash. You could be fined if it's not placed properly within the trash receptacle. And the regulations on this are growing almost every day,
and
I think.
And they don't even laugh with you or give you a nice snare drum rim shot when they give you these new rules. It's amazing.
And isn't it true, Judith, that everybody gets the large can? There's three sizes of cans.
Smaller ones are for the recycle, I've heard. Is that right?
No. Yeah. Everybody starts out with a 95-gallon trash can, okay. Whether you are a little white-haired lady that already knows I set out one white trash bag every week.
The 13-gallon size. Yeah.
Right, 13-gallon trash bag, that's it. And you know, these is very insulting. Everybody gets the large can,
which the little lady can't roll out,
which she can't roll out because it's 95 gallons. And because until you discern what your actual trash needs are, now come on, the city of Tulsa is made up of adults that already know how much trash can they need, how many trash bags they need, and they just want to put it at the end of the driveway and have it taken away. That's it.
Well, I think that you've hit on another point. This is another point of the disregard for the citizens. There hasn't been, I don't think there's been a legitimate attempt to poll the people to find out what their needs were. So they have decided recently to just purchase a large number of the 95-gallon trash barrels, trash receptacles, and supply them to whoever. Now, Ken can probably tell us more about what the people are saying.
Well, as a candidate for House of Representatives, I am getting out there knocking on lots and lots of doors. I probably have knocked on over 2,500 doors talking to the people, and I have not ran into one person who agrees with this this change of decision. If George has knocked on over 5,000 doors and I've knocked on over 2,500, and George is saying 99% and I'm saying 100%, I do not think that the people have been listened to.
And I ask you off air before we got started, how many of those 2,500 have heard about it? And that was also interesting.
Every single person knows about this trash decision. Yeah. I'm running into little old ladies every single day who are saying, how am I going to push these carts? They do have one bag a week.
Yep.
You know, a lot of them are telling me, I can't push this up my driveway. I can't fit this in my garage. I can't even get this through my gate. So what am I supposed to do? Leave this big 95-gallon trash cart in my yard?
And when they roll it down the driveway, or it takes them with them down the driveway,
yes,
they have to position it in a precise location, in a precise manner. You can't error on this. Otherwise, I think
at a particular time.
At a particular time. No earlier, no later, or you'll miss it.
Get fined if it's early.
I think these measures are being opposed that are being imposed upon the people are oppressive, and it should not be.
The idea that people already don't know their trash needs is disingenuous, and that's being polite. That's the music indicating the end of the first half of America in the Balance. We're in studio with Dr. Judith Adams, Ken Walker, and online with George Gibbs. We'll be right back after a very short break. Stick around.
promote your business on the internet? The Truth in Focus Radio Network reaches listeners locally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and all across the United States. The shift is on from traditional media to internet marketing. Stay on the cutting edge with your business. Advertise with us today. Email radio at truthinfocus.org. You heard the word, so will they. Email us at radio at truthinfocus.org.
Welcome back to the second half of America in the Balance on Truth in Focus Internet Radio. My gosh, we're rocking out here.
You outdid yourself on the selection of music this week. I love that.
That was
fresh garbage.
That was courtesy of my husband who suggested
Spirit.
That.
You were telling me off air that group was a California band, West Coast band that had a pretty famous guitarist in it.
Randy California was his name, which wasn't his real name, but that was his stage name. Sure. And tragically, he died saving his son. They were in Molokai, Hawaii. I guess they were surfing, and he and his 12-year-old son got caught up in a riptide. Well, he pushed his 12-year-old son to safety, and unfortunately, he got carried away. And so you can never tell. These old rockers actually have willingness to give their life for another.
That's right.
And anyway, that was 1968.
How about that?
1968. He's like, are we
getting old? That was a good year, boy. I remember that one.
I was young.
Chicago 7 and all.
Yeah. We are in studio. This is Amanda Teagarden in studio with Don Wyatt, and this is America in the Balance, and we are in studio, have in studio, Dr. Judith Adams and candidate Ken Walker, who is walking House District 70 in his campaign for election in that House district. And on the phone, we have Tulsa Attorney George Gibbs and this organization, TUF, which is Tulsans United for Fair tulsafairness.org. That's the website, Tulsans United for Fairness.org. And there's some information there. And I can tell that that's a website that is in the process of adding more and more information as information comes forth. And I'm pretty sure if you're listening from another city that your municipality, if not now, will be soon dealing with this move toward standardization of the trash collection service in your city. And by the way, your rates will go up. They will not go down.
Yeah. We've got a number of folks in our group that are involved in researching and advocacy for taxes, but we also are really involved in health care and in Agenda 21. And I'm fairly confident if we dig, we'll find that this TARE board is a direct result of Agenda 21.
Well, the intent of it, what will end up being with their justification for it as far as this environmental global climate change green agenda right here. And it's also going to financially benefit a few people, not everybody.
Right.
George, can you give us a little bit of background again on the TARE board? What kind of legal entity is the TARE board? And how and when was it established in Tulsa? We've already discussed who the seven board members are, and they're all appointed. And so give us what kind of legal entity is this?
The TARE board is a public trust, and public trusts were by an act of the legislature to allow a group of citizens appointed by a board, such as the mayor or city council, governor, to conduct a specialized area of business for efficiency. And unfortunately, the TARE board and this organization, this public trust, has somehow accumulated a lot of money. I've heard the people suggest that they have at least 10 million, if not more, and now they have become a, we have to survive. We're responsible for all this money and we're important, et cetera, et cetera.
Did they get that money by debt, or do you know? Because I also understand in our state anyway that once one of these trusts has indebtedness, then the trust cannot be terminated until that indebtedness has been completely cleared. Do you know if that's true?
That is my understanding. But I can tell you the law, it's complicated, and there are exceptions and rules piled on top of rules, and it's become a very complicated type of device, or if that's what you want to call it, legislative.
It's an administrative.
It's overwhelming sometimes.
It's an administrative weapon full of arrogance and elitism, isn't it?
Well, unfortunately,
my words, not yours. Sorry.
That much power in the hands of seven people, it's a problem.
Yeah.
That the general public does not know about. That has no accountability, that we have no ability to hold those TARE board's members accountable. We can't fire them in an election, and they actually control everything. They are a very powerful entity, and it's my understanding of a public trust, when we were looking up the public trust called the Oklahoma Health Information Exchange Trust,
exactly,
that according to their bylaws and actually the in trust's indenture, the only way to terminate a trust, if it has the ability to incur debt and issue bonds, which means they can sell those bonds as well,
right,
is that you can't terminate them unless the public beneficiary, in this case the city, accepts the debt that the trust has incurred. So you can't
liquidate it some way.
Or liquidate it, which takes at the state level, two-thirds majority vote in order to do that. So what a trust typically does is incur debt immediately.
Yeah, the day they open, they go float bonds, and now they're insured perpetual life.
Because you can't terminate them, right, as long as there's an outstanding
debt.
All right. Did we lose George? All right. Well, we lost George. So we'll continue our conversation here with Ken Walker and Judith Adams. And what I found is if people are interested in seeing the trust's indenture, it is online at the Tulsa City Ordinances. You can go to City Ordinance Title 39, Chapter 15. And if you go to the City of Tulsa's website, which is cityoftulsa.org, and look on City Services, there is a spot on that website where you can see the city's legal documents, the charter and the ordinances. So again, it's City Ordinance, Title 39, Chapter 15, and I pulled it up, and by golly, guess what? That thing is 36 pages long, describing the trust's indenture and their authorities and several amendments. And they had
I recommend it for entertaining reading, though. That trustees find Third Amendment necessary. Trustees find Fourth Amendment necessary. It just goes on and on and on like that.
And those amendments, of course, expand their power and the purpose and the reach and scope of the trust and beyond how it was originally created. I'm an advocate for not creating trusts to begin with because nobody from one elected session to the next remembers who they are, what they do, and yet they're continuing to work. And what's they have regulations in place, those regulations have the full force and effect of law.
Exactly.
All right. Ken, you were talking earlier before we went to the break at the bottom of the hour a little bit about what you're hearing from people in the city of Tulsa. So what do they want to do when you're walking these districts, district?
The people that I'm hearing from, they're very happy with their current service. I'm even hearing from people that they know the names of their the people who pick up their trash. The people are resentful now that they're going to have these measures imposed upon them without their consent, without representation. And so the people are unhappy. They're unhappy that they're going to be forced to recycle. They want the choice to recycle. They don't want this is just symptomatic of the government thinking that they know better than we do.
That's right.
So you would say it's a symptom of central planning. It's typical mindset or outcome of a centrally planned economy, or in this case, a centrally controlled city government, where people actually think they're participating, but really we don't have representation on a board.
Or a trust, or a commission,
Authority.
Or an authority.
I would agree with that. If these authorities are making decisions without the consent of the people, the people are going to get more and more resentful because they're being these decisions are being imposed upon them, and they don't agree with it. They don't agree with these. I really don't think, as I drive around and as I walk the neighborhoods, I see trash cans that people have already.
Sure.
And has anybody thought what's going to happen with these hundreds of thousands of trash cans
that no longer qualify for the new service?
Yes, that don't qualify. They're not good enough anymore.
Yeah, you get fined if you keep them, right?
Well, you can use them for other purposes. You could plant a garden in it.
I love that.
Trash can garden. That'll be the new thing. What to do with your old trash cans.
More industry.
Plant a garden. You can take the, I think you're supposed to write on it, take this if you want them to take you. But they don't take your trash can away, but they don't tell you whether you'll be charged extra for that because that can won't fit in the
other can.
What I found when we went to that meeting at FERS Cafeteria, which is where all the hot action is taking place in this town, the representatives from the TARE board and a city councilor were there, and they were trying to convince this group of pretty, I would say the average age is senior citizens, that they really need to switch to the 95-gallon trash can, which they won't have any choice about because they really have to experience this first in order for before they can decide what their actual trash needs would be.
Now, that sounded like Pelosi.
It does. We have to pass it before we can find out what's in it. Well, you have to all participate in this. And they got that instruction or that recommendation from other cities who have gone to this egregious trash method and say, don't let the people pick their own plan because they'll pick the one based on what's economically feasible for them. They'll go with the low service, and then if they need more can, then they can upgrade later. And their recommendation literally was, do not let your citizens have that choice.
Right.
Start them all out with the 95-gallon trash can at the higher rate.
That's right.
Across the board, and then they get to experience that for 6 months, and then when they determine what their actual trash needs are, then they can apply to change the trash can back down to a 35-gallon trash can.
After the 35-gallon price has been raised to equal the 95-gallon price, then you can appeal to
And you'll get two cans, one for the recycling, whether you need it or not.
Right.
And as you mentioned, people's gates, to me, the accommodating of the can is kind of a smaller aspect of this, is that the city can tell you what to do with your trash is the astonishing thing that they think that they have that much right and authority over what you do with something, a product you purchased. And when I asked the question about what are they going to do with the recycling, if a customer has a lot of recycling, because that's what they want to do, is the city or Terra Board going to reimburse them for all that product that the Terra Board is collecting and recycling, because Terra Board is going to benefit financially? And they said no.
At one point, and I can't quote the exact time, but I believe I heard someone say that if the city can force people into recycling, then they can recoup some cost from that recycled material.
But that cost that will not be credited back to the people who gave them the recycling material to begin with.
No.
It'll let them expand the size of the board or reach into some other activity of life besides trash.
Now, Judith, during the break, you mentioned that this lawsuit that Tuff is considering filing is in the consideration file. You have not actually filed it as of this date.
No, but we are very close. And as George was talking about, one of the causes of actions would be the Open Meetings Act, the fact that citizen input was not welcome, was suppressed, that possibly it was a reckless disregard for the will of the people.
Well, we don't want you to give away all the content of the lawsuit here, but I will tell you an interesting thing I noticed on the City of Tulsa website on the TARE, Tulsa Authority for Recovery of Energy, which is what TARE, T-A.
Yeah, they're not collecting trash, they're collecting energy.
They're collecting energy, yeah. And I'll tell you, the energy is the crux of this issue right here.
That's right.
It's not really about your trash. Only it's TARE, as we're saying this, we didn't actually spell that, Don, and we shouldn't.
Oh, that's right, T-A-R-E.
T-A-R-E,
that's right.
In all caps, Tulsa Authority for Recovery of Energy. And on here, they've added this special little sentence or two at the top. It's in italics, and I think it's because they're beginning to feel the heat, because some of these board members are serving under expired terms.
That's
and
right.
These decisions were made. Now, here's what they've written on this website. According to Article 6 of the city ordinance listed above, which is Title 39, Chapter 15, TARE board members may serve under expired terms until their successors are appointed by the mayor. The members continue to serve during the critical process of selecting a new collection service because of the need for continuity and consistency of knowledge among the board.
Right, and it has been pointed out to me that the expired terms were brought, at least two of the people with expired terms, their names were brought before the city council for a reappointment, and the city council denied their reappointment.
Wasn't that the same justification Hugo Chavez used for extending his stay in Venezuela? That it was really critical, they couldn't...
continuity.
Yeah, exactly.
But I guess that illustrates that there has been members of the city council in the past, and I think it also continuing, have tried to oppose what the TARE board is doing, but have been unsuccessful. So this concern that we have is with the city of Tulsa and the TARE board, and we're not really dealing with the city council at this time.
I'm wondering if any other authorities, boards, or commissions is actually able to operate and make legal contractual obligations with expired board members.
Great question.
Well, I think, as you read, that is part of the law that they can serve, but that certainly seems like there's something wrong with that, you know.
Well, there's flagrant disregard for the interest of the people if expired board members aren't replaced when their term expires.
So it's really a pretend expiration.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretend. And as you said, how does a board like this, how could we do away with it? They can only dissolve themselves. So for the TARE board to be dissolved, it would have to dissolve itself. And it reminded me of the comment of Ronald Reagan of, if you don't believe in eternal life, look at the government.
The government program, yeah.
If these things are so flexible on the terms of office of the board members, then there's probably flexibility that they've built in and given themselves on other parts of their indenture or mentioned in their bylaws, which means that they are a moving target.
Right.
Now, you really can't, it's kind of like Jell-O, you really can't grasp it. It'll slip through your hands, right. And they still exist. Can you tell me on the contracts, do you know about the contracts?
I know some about the contracts, yeah.
Give us the names of those that are considering the contract for the service, which was one of them's American Waste.
I believe the contract has been awarded to a company called New Solutions.
New Solutions.
And it is a relatively new company. There have been...
When you say relatively, are we talking...
It was...
Is there could be some relative relation?
From what I have been told, it was essentially formed so that it could get the contract. It doesn't have a long history of operation. It is a relatively new company.
Have to have some place for these board members with expired terms to go.
I
should say that some people have voiced great concerns about the way the contract was awarded and a great suspicion about whether there was bias in awarding the contract. Now, that's not an issue that we can address immediately, but it's, you know, like I said, this trash issue is like a blemish on the skin of a very large, person.
So there's an odor coming from this trash award, awarding of this trash contract. The Covanta Energy Resources, I'm reading in an article that was published, I think, who published this? It was News on 6 had this and said, reported that the disposal contract was awarded to Covanta Energy Resources, which will burn the trash. The recycling will be processed by American Waste Control. And then we're talking about New Solutions. What are they actually doing? What part of that contract?
Well, I can't speak to the fine points of it.
Okay, all right.
Are they the general contractor?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe so.
Maybe they're the ones actually collecting the trash.
Well, I imagine that they will sub that out as well. I imagine they're an entity to be in charge of these other entities to further buffer them.
And then there was a contract awarding for the trash can itself,
right.
Which somebody at the meeting I attended at Ferrer's Cafeteria asked where the trash cans were made, and they're actually made in Mexico.
Right.
So these are not American cans.
And you mentioned earlier.
So I'd like to actually know exactly what American were actually, where's American fit into this?
I don't know. And you mentioned earlier about the RFID chips, and I've mentioned how this story keeps expanding and changing. But, one person that we're aware of has done some research about other cities that are issuing fines based on those RFID chips and fines because somebody set their trash out a half hour early, And there's many things that have not been addressed. Now, somebody recently has done some research about other cities. You mentioned this, cities for all over the country. And one thing, if any changes are needed, I don't believe that they have been, the will of the people has been looked at, the opinions of the people. I don't think those opinions have been given legitimate consideration. If changes were needed, it would seem that some incremental changes might be made. I am definitely in favor of voluntary participation. I recycle. I'm not opposed to recycling. I recycle a great deal of things, but I do that voluntarily. And I think people are intelligent enough to make decisions for themselves.
Well said. By the way, on the subject of other cities, one of the reasons we thought it was a good idea to air this broadcast, we know that in the community that I live in, which is the third largest city in the state, about 30 miles from Tulsa, they are now embarking on a study to do the same thing with their trash collection and follow the leadership of Tulsa, and they'll probably set up a similar structure and probably have just as much concern for what the citizens think.
Do you think they'll be the same entities will be awarded the contracts?
I have no idea where it will. If I had to guess, I guess they'd create another New Solutions because they'll want another new entity to serve as their general contractor, but that's only a guess.
It's my understanding that New Solutions has no track record at all as far as whether they're able to actually handle trash collection services. and yet TRI it is. I'm wondering also, and this, you may not be able to answer this.
Inside the Beltway in D.C., it's commonplace for entities to be formed specifically to respond to the details of a given contract, and that's what they're for.
Maybe the details of the specific contract were written to accommodate new solutions.
Yeah, it could be, abilities. But I bet the requirements were first, and new solutions was just formulated to comply with them.
Where have I seen that model? Oh, I know.
That's right.
In the legislature.
Well, and you mentioned that, I'm glad you use the term inside the Beltway. You refer to that as for Washington, D.C. I think we have our own inside the Beltway thinking here in Tulsa.
Well said.
And, you know, some of the other comments that were made earlier. And you mentioned the Step Up Tulsa and any connections to, you know, Agenda 21. If you go to the website and look at Step Up Tulsa, there's a link there to Planet Tulsa and to the sustainability
network
philosophy of globalism.
Right.
You're mentioning
Agenda
that
21 again.
Mayor Kathy Taylor was a mayor that served one term. She didn't get paid. She was a very wealthy woman, spent $1 million on her election to get elected, and she was the mayor before Dewey Bartlett, and Dewey Bartlett was elected a few years ago. And under her administration, a lot of this green effort came forth in the push of the sustainable development. The mayor had the mayor's green team. She participated in Planet Tulsa planning sessions beforehand, before we went to Planet Tulsa. Planet Tulsa is the move toward adopting a new urbanist plan for the entire city of Tulsa.
And environs.
That is correct. And moving toward walkable communities. Transit-oriented development and making things more stack 'em and pack 'em, high rises, constant densification of the city, more infill, and I'm pretty sure that recycling was part of that that whole green picture here. And out of that came these other agendas, because this trash, the examination of the trash collection system or service in the city of Tulsa started being examined back, I think, in 2006, 2007, and 2008.
That's,
and this is the time, yes. And then we have 2009, and then this beginning newspaper articles about the trash collection service, and Michael Patton, who is a guy that's, his nickname is Recycle Michael, and he came into existence or authority under Mayor Susan Savage back in the 90s about recycling, and that was part of the President's Council on Sustainable Development. The president at that time was Bill Clinton.
Right.
So there's been this continuing thread of moving toward this green development, this the move toward more centrally planned, sustainable policies in the city of Tulsa, which ends up how we can now say we're going to have a communist trash can, where everybody's uniform, required to recycle and do what the city determines.
Central planning.
And I asked Liz Hunt, who was one of the representatives from the TARA board, and she's part of another organization, I think. So basically, what you're saying, when she was talking to the audience here, is that the people have to fit the program.
Right.
The program is not to accommodate the needs of the people. So that's a typical pattern when you're talking with a progressive mindset, and the people fit the pattern.
Right.
And you have to fit into a square can, in this case, a 95-gallon can. You will be recycling. And what is now not mandatory, once they put the conditions in place, it is a simple thing to change the policy toward mandatory recycling.
Right.
When it becomes mandatory, then they start assessing the fees for failure to recycle.
That's right.
Right. And, you know, as I said, the rules about this keep evolving. You know, now they're moving toward an automated system, which I don't believe was clearly specified in the RFP. But that's the reason they say that the cart has to be positioned at a certain place from the curb and, you know, at a certain angle to allow the automated equipment to pick up the cart.
Yeah.
But, well, as a comment, you know, I'm glad you refreshed our memories about all these things about sustainability. But as George has commented to me, if this got started under Mayor Kathy Taylor, Mayor Bartlett could have stopped it, but he didn't.
Good point. Good point. And that's the case with so many programs. By the way, we're coming close to the end of time, and I don't want us to run out of time. Judith, would you help our listeners know how to contact you, how to get involved in the battle, and for the listeners that we have living in other cities who think this might not apply to them, or at least may not apply to them yet, give us all some insight into what these rules and patterns are like, and how they can try to make a voice heard, even though it's hard.
Okay. Well, as Amanda mentioned earlier, we do have a website, TulsansUnitedForFairness.org. They can go check our website. We are adding things to it. There are some links on there. And we do need your help because we are on the verge of a legal engagement here. As it turns out, the city of Tulsa will probably use city money, tax money, to defend themselves in this lawsuit.
So we taxpayers get to pay for both sides of it, don't we?
Well, but we do need your help. If you could help us financially, that would be helpful. We are planning to have some community meetings and some public meetings. Our meetings are open to the public.
Do you have mailing lists or newsletter email lists or anything?
We are just now developing some mail pieces, and we do have some mailing lists, so that's the next step.
Good.
Because we need to get our voice out there and let people know how to help us. We do need help. They can donate to us. We have a campaign account that has been set up, and we have a treasurer. That's Eric Zellner, and he's our treasurer. I was looking for the address, but I'm going to give you my office address right now as the best option for this morning, and that's 9726 East 42nd Street South, Suite 106. And I will pass those donations on to Eric. And we also have a PayPal link on the website, so we could definitely use your help there.
Do you have an email address people might be able to use to reach you?
The email address is info@TulsansUnitedForFairness.org.
Excellent. Thank you, Ken.
Say that again.
info@TulsansUnitedForFairness.org.
All right. We've had in studio today, we've got... this is an interesting subject, and everybody needs to be alerted to this because it's going to affect you, and it's coming right to your driveway and your bill, your monthly bill.
Right.
This is Amanda Teagarden in studio with Don Wyatt. This has been an hour of American the Balance. Our guests today have been Dr. Judith Adams, Ken Walker, and on the phone was George Gibbs. And we're going to ask you to share this information with everybody that you know. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.